At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You never saw this coming.
Voidmonster.org is a new website started by artist of Dockside Extortionist Forrest Emil that drops new TCG-inspired accessories and apparel every single month.
Right now, Voidmonster.org's Greedy Drop features this insanely cool pot of greed design you can get on a playmat or a t-shirt.
And if you get one of each, they'll throw in this free Pot of Greed gold foil treasure token as a bonus.
This drop is only available through this weekend and ends Sunday, July 6th at 12 p.m. PST.
So use our link in the description now to go to Voidmonster.org and summon Pot of Greed and draw 3 additional cards from your deck.
Now let's get into the podcast.
Can I see myself real quick just
nope.
before we... Okay.
Just kidding. Yes. That is my least favorite style of joke ever. Like when you ask, like, can I go to the bathroom? And they go, no. Yes.
That is a very lame joke.
I don't know why.
When you just say the opposite.
Yeah. Like, do you know where the bathroom is? No. Yes.
You have to, like, follow up the no with something else.
Or, like, you go to a food place and you say, hey, can I get a sandwich? And they go, no. Well, you're at a sandwich place. Obviously, you can get a sandwich. How do you want me to phrase
and they
it
just
so that
give
you're
you that blank stare?
Never mind. I'm going to spit in the sandwich and give it back. How about that? This podcast was brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code PLATEWIN5 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
I can't believe it's another episode of the Play to Win podcast where we talk about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
And that was a surprise to me. I'm Dylan. This week we're talking about a couple different things. We're talking about casual decks because we will soon be on the Professors.
Yeah, I think we were on the Professor show this week.
Shuffle Up and Play was the show that we're going to be on. So we're going to talk about some casual decks. So if you're coming over from the Professors, you're going to get our more of our thoughts on casual.
I think that's the main focus of today because we got a lot of like other topics to talk about that are also going to be more casual EDH related.
Yeah.
Like the new rules changes to the format and other things that they're bringing to Friday Night Magics as well.
Like vehicle and spaceships being able to be your commander now.
Well, that's like the whole thing.
That's that whole section.
That's that whole section, yeah. Actually, breaking news.
Ooh, is
as
this a surprise?
Just before we started coming up with this. Yeah, dude. What the heck just happened? Oh, here we go. I clicked on an ad accidentally. So, did you see that we are getting some Sonic the Hedgehog cards?
That's not true. Is that true?
Not only are we getting like...
Do we know that before today or is that
no,
the surprise?
No, this came out today. This is the surprise.
This is the surprise.
This is the surprise. On the recording day, this
oh,
is the
like
surprise.
Right now.
Yeah,
okay.
Right now.
June 27th, 11 o'clock.
Correct, yes. So not only are we getting like a secret lair with like Lightning Greaves and a bunch of other Sonic themed skins on cards,
okay.
But we're getting legendary creatures for a ton of Sonic the Hedgehog characters, including
Knuckles.
Sonic, Knuckles, Dr. Eggman.
Individual cards or
individual,
like
individual, dude. Sonic
oh, wow.
the Hedgehog
has
his
card.
Own
oh,
card.
What's
yeah.
his card? What does Sonic do?
So Sonic is 1 in Jeskai for
okay.
a 2/4 legendary hedgehog warrior.
Of course.
He's got haste, of course.
Obviously.
And his ability, Gotta Go Fast, says whenever Sonic attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control with flash or haste. And when a creature you control with flash or haste is dealt damage, create a tapped treasure.
So like allows your stuff to get in a little bit easier because they don't want to block because they'll give you a tapped treasure if they kill your attacking creature. Like, is that what we're doing?
Yeah, yeah. They allow,
if they
it'll
die,
allow you to get more damage in.
Because
yeah.
they like maybe won't want to block and give you the tapped treasure.
Maybe they won't want to give you the tapped treasures. I will say there's not a lot of really good, like true Jeskai commander options in CEDH. So one that will sometimes get you mana could be also something that could be good.
Not better than Elsha.
Well, what Elsha's good because we don't have any other options, though, right? Like, how good is Elsha, really?
Yeah, well, Elsha also, but Elsha just got the new Tezzeret from Edging Forever.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, so Elsha's going to edge with Tezzeret now.
Yeah, because the new Tezzeret, the colorless Tezzeret, can go find Sensei's Divining Top.
That's true. Wow, that's really good.
I'm so sorry. Real quick, let me just finish up our thoughts on Sonic, and then we can talk about Tezzeret, because we haven't talked about Tezzeret yet, so
we'll
do a little
preview. I got a lot of other Sonic cards to talk about.
God.
And Tezzeret, we got to save some
stuff for another episode. Sure, fair, yeah. Fair.
How big is Sonic?
2-4. Sonic 2-4. Is a 2-4 with haste, but Sonic's... can get a +1/+1 counter when he attacks.
Sonic's bad, right?
I think Sonic's not good.
Is cool, but as a card, that's not a good card.
Can I show you one that actually is kind of good?
Yes, please.
Shadow the Hedgehog.
Nice, of course.
Of course, right? Yeah. So Shadow's black, black, red, red.
Badass already.
So,
I'm in.
Right, Rakdos cost.
Oh, wow, is it good?
4-2, legendary Hedgehog Mercenary with haste. Whenever Shadow or another creature you control with flash or haste dies, you draw a card.
Oh, that's better than a tap treasure.
That's way better than making a tap treasure.
Whenever a creature you control with flash or haste dies, draw a card.
Correct.
No restriction.
No restriction.
It can be a token?
It could be a token. It's just whenever a creature you control. You control is the only
any creature you control,
restriction.
But it has to have flash or haste.
Or haste, okay. Yes. And it also has chaos control, which says that each spell you cast has split second.
What?
If.
Oh.
I know, right? Nah, we got a caveat.
What is the caveat?
But the caveat's not bad. If mana from an artifact was spent to cast it.
That's totally doable.
So this is your soul ring, your treasures.
This gives black red a way to beat counterspells.
Can you imagine giving your ad nauseum
split second
and no one can interact with it because your soul ring or your mana vault used for it. Now that means you have to get your black, black, red, red commander out into play first. But there's gotta be some haste creature that we're gonna get back from the graveyard that we can loop and keep sacrificing all the time, right?
I'm not sure if this is CDH playable off the bat, but it seems powerful. Like, it is inherently, it is a powerful thing to do in Commander. So if there are some cards that I haven't searched the internet yet for this, but if there's
because it
cards,
literally came out today, you didn't know about it before I read it,
right? But if there are some cards that combo with this or do really, I mean, it has a lot of things we're looking for. It has card draw right on there, right, which is good. We want in the command zone
exactly, and it has the ability to do things uninteractable, which is something that powerful commanders like Kinnan and Magda and Winota have access to. This just like does this in a bit of a different way.
When it dies, do you draw the card?
Yes, whenever Shadow or another creature control.
So there's got to be a way to loop it forever with infinite something and draw your deck or something.
I guess it's true. You don't have to have another creature to do this. You can sacrifice it, get the card.
But I don't know offhand what that loop would be.
I don't know either.
Sort of
is it like a recurring nightmare?
Some sort of card
isn't legal.
Can I see the art?
Yeah, it's really cool. The art is really cool. I mean, they just look like anime comic book characters on there.
Oh, what's this? Super State?
I haven't read Super State because it wasn't a commander yet.
Oh, okay. I'm reading it right now. I have to because it's right here. Super Saiyan Sonic. Legendary enchantment artifact for 7. Enchant creature you control. Enchanted creature has base power and toughness 9/9. Has flying, first strike, trample, and haste. Whenever enchanted creature deals combat damage to opponent, it deals that much damage to each other opponent.
That's an aura?
That's a aura. Legendary enchantment aura. I mean, that's a cool casual card.
That's a very cool casual card for sure to go along with our casual podcast today.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these are pretty cool. The Knuckles, the Echidna.
What does Knuckles
do? Is a 4-mana 2/4 Echidna warrior with double strike, trample, and haste.
What colors?
2/4. Mono red.
Mono red.
Mono red. Whenever one or more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, create a treasure token. Which is pretty good.
Not restricted to flash and haste creatures.
Correct. Yeah, one or more creatures you control. And at the beginning of your upkeep, if you control 30 or more artifacts, you win the game. This is arguably like a Magda card, though.
Oh.
Like, it itself can make you like a bunch of treasures.
It's Facebreaker, right?
It's basically Facebreaker, but has a win the game condition in case, like, there's a Cursed Totem in play and you can't.
Okay.
Or like an Opposition Agent in play and you can't use Magda for that.
So it's whenever one or more creatures is coming damage to a player. So it's only for each player will you get treasures, but double strike. So when Knuckles deals damage, it's going to get you 2 treasures.
Exactly. So the turn that you cast it
really
will
like
give him
mana.
A 2-mana discount.
I think this is close in power level to Professional Facebreaker,
this
right?
This is a cool Magda card. Wow.
At the beginning of your upkeep, you control 30 or more artifacts. Not even treasures, just artifacts?
Not even treasures, just artifacts.
That's an insane amount.
That's why I think Magda's the only one that will get there. Like, if you can like crew like a ton and then like he'll get in for some, I think.
I think this is just like a fine card.
Like, that deck is playing Gimli, which is good because the Gimlis are dwarves, but like, this gets in for more treasures,
the
I think, than
strike,
the Gimlis.
The double strike haste trample makes it so that you're pretty consistently, I think, you will be able to get 2 treasures on the turn it comes out. So making this an effective 2-mana, if you're not playing ad nauseum and you are trying to attack with some creatures, I think this is worth it. It's a legend, too.
It is a legend. Yeah, he's a legend, too. Yeah, so
does Sisse want this? Wait a minute.
Does Cisse no, want right? No. Cisse, he's one color.
I will think about this for Cisse. Think I don't think it's a Cisse yeah. card, but that's it's close. Yeah, so that's, it's a legend that makes mana. I'm looking true. At it.
Yeah, so that's super sweet. Nice. That's super sweet that we're getting those Sonic cards. I think they're actually really well done, and I'm very excited to see if Shadow is going to have some CEDH implications, but they're all awesome casual cards, and that's for sure.
Were there more cards that were spoiled too?
We got a Dr. Eggman and an Amy and stuff like that.
You don't want to talk about them.
Yeah, I mean, we can.
We'll blow through them real quick because we're not going to do a set review for this, right?
No, because it's just these cards, yeah. Dr. Eggman is 2 in Grixis for a 3/6 legendary human scientist with flying. At the beginning of your end step, you draw, and then each opponent faces a villainous choice, it says. That player either discards a card or you can put a construct, robot or vehicle card from your hand onto the battlefield.
Oh, and they don't know what it's going to be. They just say, I will allow you to do such a thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Kefka, weirdly. Like, it's not, but like, it draws a card and makes your opponents maybe discard a card. Or
weirdly, yeah.
Like, it's not really, like, because it's on end step and not on enters, but it's
definitely
like,
way worse.
It's similar.
Than Kefka, yeah.
I think worse, yeah.
And then Amy is 2, a red and a white for a 3/3 legendary hedgehog warrior with haste.
Is that the pink one?
Yeah.
I don't really know Sonic super well. I'm not like, I played a little bit in arcades.
You got
but,
it. You got yeah, it on I, the nose.
Okay, yeah.
And you know what's funny? Red and white make pink.
Look at that. And it's a Boros card.
Yeah, that's so funny. So she's got haste. And whenever Amy Rose attacks, attach up to 1 target equipment to her. You might actually really need this card. Yeah. Then up to 1 other target attacking creature gets +X/+O until end of turn, where X is Amy Rose's power.
Interesting. She's 4 mana?
She's 2 and Boros for a 3/3 with haste.
With haste.
Which means that
enters, attach something to, or make something else big. That's what she's doing?
Yeah.
Okay, so for casual, for maybe for my Boros equipment deck, I'm maybe my casual Boros equipment deck.
I mean, she'll make your commander even more Voltron-y just by attacking and giving him a +3 boost the same turn that she comes in.
I like the equipment stuff that allow you to spread out your attacks a little bit, because when you try to do the exalted strategy, it becomes much easier for them to just like use their one spot removal. But if you can, like, this one has a sort of feast and famine, but also my commander is 15 damage. So which one do you want to deal with?
But she's also nice because she's pumping up your commander too. So even though you moved over sort of feast and famine, you're not giving up the 5 power of attack that you did by doing that, right? She's like kind of making up for it. I think she's really good.
Yeah, yeah. That might be it might be a powerful Boros card.
Yeah.
Was there a Tails? Do we get
there
a Tails?
There is a Tails.
Okay.
Did you know that Tails' name is Miles?
Yeah, Miles per hour or something.
You didn't know that. How did you know that?
I saw there was like a podcast thing, like the voice guy for Tails or something, like found that out live on a podcast and it was clipped and I saw that.
Oh, so the voice guy didn't even know.
Voice guy didn't even know.
That's so funny.
What's his full name?
Miles Tails Prower.
Prower.
Is
Prower. Miles Prower.
Oh, I get it.
Miles Prower. That's what it is. That's the pun.
I didn't know that they all had Pokemon names. Jesus.
I don't think they do.
Yeah, Miles Prower is gimmicky enough that that's like a Pokemon name where like you're named after the thing so
bad. To me, a Pokemon name means that all you say is your name. It's like that if you're someone who has a Pokemon name, that's like naming a bear.
Oh, no, that's
it's a Pokemon, right? If you name the list of creatures called
No, that's onomatopoeia. Isn't that what that is?
I don't know. What's onomatopoeia?
I don't remember.
All right, let's skip
Miles
this.
Per hour is 1 1 white and a blue for a 3/1 legendary fox artificer with flying and flash. And whenever a vehicle you control enters, draw a card if it has flying. Otherwise, put a flying counter on it. This sucks.
Sucks.
This sucks.
Yeah, I would say kind of sucks. Yeah. Right, we can move past that one.
We'll move past that
one. It draws a card. That's nice.
Sometimes. Sometimes we'll draw a card, yeah. But those are the Sonic cards.
Cool.
So that's kind of cool.
Exciting.
That's breaking news. Yeah.
I don't really know about Sonic, but I also don't really know about Edge of Eternities. So both of these things are fun surprises to me. Shadow seems maybe
for CEDH at least. Yeah. But that's all the CEDH that we'll really be talking about. That's not true.
I'm sure we'll be talking
we
more
We should
CEDH.
Get into some other news that I think will affect casual Magic a little bit more.
The vehicle thing
is the first thing I want to bring up. So not just vehicles, but also coming up in Edge of Eternities, we're getting a new card type called Starships, which are basically vehicles, except they can only be crewed, or what they're now calling stationed, at sorcery speed. But they're stationed for that creature's power. And whenever you station the number that you're stationing stays on that forever. So it's not like vehicles that can uncrewed at the end of turn.
So once you station it, it's just a creature then.
It'll just be a creature, right? Yeah.
Just with the spaceship is a new, is it a car type? Is it a super type? Is it?
It's a new artifact type. It's, so it's a like new equipment. Subtype. It's, yeah. So it won't pump your Tarmogoyf.
Yeah. Okay. And only artifacts are this? Do we know that?
Yeah. Only artifacts because they're basically vehicles for space.
Sure. Yeah. This all makes sense. Okay, cool. Them being commanders is so far kind of irrelevant. The vehicles, at least. The vehicles being commanders. I think for CDH, that's really not going to come up.
None of them were designed with the idea in mind that they could be your commander. So even the ones that do draw cards, I think aren't pushing the envelope enough to be CDH.
I saw three that I thought were like close to being CDH triable. Jackdaw, which is one, a blue and a red for a vehicle that says whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you discard your hand. If you do, draw a card for each artifact you control. Crew 3, 4/4. If it's a dump your whole hand and you draw in big bursts, Joyra is probably just better though, right?
Yeah.
If you want to do an artifact,
Joyra
is probably better.
I would agree.
RMS Titanic, 3 and a red for a vehicle that has flying trample. It's a 7/1 with crew 3, and it says whenever it deals combat damage to a player, sacrifice it and create that many treasures. So it has no haste, so you have to wait a turn, and the next turn you make 7 treasures.
Play Magda. I feel like that's just, again, same bet.
But it's close. I don't know. It's close. And the Indomitable, 5 years ago with Edric, when Edric was better, I would have said this would actually be relevant because Indomitable is for 2 and blue-blue, a trampling vehicle that says whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, draw a card, and it has crew 3 for 6/6. Six, six.
I feel like all of these just have an actual legendary creature that gives you more colors and does something a little bit better, so I really don't think that they'll have great implications for CEDH, but on the casual side, I think it's hilarious that a boat is your commander.
I 100% agree. It kind of makes sense. I mean, the Indomitable, I actually kind of like if you're doing that Edric strategy. Getting off the green stinks, but having a more consistent mana base and having it so that you don't give your opponents the draws, the big part, I think is actually going to be super relevant. You know, a flying man deck that has a couple extra turn spells, it's going to be a very powerful bracket 4 deck, I think. It has the potential to be. I'm not sure if it'll be CEDH playable.
Yeah, I don't think it will affect CEDH too much, but that's just like a new fun thing. But it also leads me to ask, like, where does this go with other card types? Because, like, this is interesting that now Wizards has control over the format.
Yeah.
And they decided, well, you know what we think is fun?
Yeah.
Is let's let this card type now be your commander.
Interesting.
And we're going to be able to now, in 2 years' time, design cards for this, but we can design. Let me be clear. They're designing cards now so that they can come out in 2 years' time, knowing that vehicles can be your commander.
They also made this decision internally way before now, so they are probably have already been planning for this to release now.
But they haven't been in control of Commander to make this decision for that long, though.
That's true, but they were in communication with the board or whatever, so they may have communicated with them.
Is there
a
chance that this is something that was in the works prior to them taking over?
I do know that they have been talking to the rules committee for a long time, for years now. So
you know, that's true. And like the rules committee,
they knew about Luris,
Lutri, and stuff like that,
Lutri.
Right? So they could preemptively ban a card that they knew was going to be problematic. So we've always known that they've been ahead. So
they might have said, hey, committee, we have spaceships coming out. How do you feel about them being commanders? And maybe the committee already said yes.
Yes, actually they did. And Gavin explained the whole thing in this video here that I'll link in the description, where he also explains that it's the power and toughness box that matters, which is why planeswalkers, legendary artifacts, and legendary enchantments aren't going to be eligible to be your commanders. So even though Cam sounds like a conspiracy theorist here, this has already been in the works for a long time.
Either way,
on the outside, it looks weird. If you don't know that that's something that's going on, it definitely looks like, wow, okay, they're just making sweeping changes away.
I think this is the first big change that they've made since they've taken over, right?
Outside of the bracket system and instituting the bracket system and bans, I guess, unbanned.
So this is really the unbanning was the first thing that they
did. I would say then that this is like the third major change that they made, which isn't going to be that major of a change. I think it's more of a change for the future as opposed to something that becomes huge right now.
Yeah, and it's nice that, like we said, unless we're missing something that, I don't know, maybe we just skipped over, like there's a combo we're not seeing, but it doesn't seem like any of the vehicles are broken or powerful. If they were, we would be having a different discussion if we just got, like, you know, several new very powerful commanders added to the format.
Or if, like, the new station that they showed off to bring this mechanic up, this new rules change up, was any good in CEDH right. 2.
I do. It does make me wonder, though, like, they're aware of CEDH and they're making this change. I do think that it's, like, reasonable to expect that they will print a vehicle in this upcoming set that will be powerful in CEDH. Like, they're aware of the format. I don't think it's crazy to think that they're doing that.
Now, even if it's not in this set, it will be a future set. Right. Yeah, like, that's certainly something I think that they'll push. I mean, there already is one, like Shorokai. Genesis Engine has been around for a while.
And now Shorokai has text that means nothing on it.
I know. We need, like, a new secret layer of Shorokai that you can just take that off.
I feel like I want that, like, altered on my commanders. Like, Sisei can be your commander. Or, like, Atali can be your commander.
Oh, that'd be so funny.
Like, it's just, it's already allowed on the card. Yeah. That's funny.
Or you just Sharpie that line off of your Shorokai.
Yeah. There we go. Perfect.
That's great.
Anything else that we want to talk about?
Yeah, before we get into, like, what we've been doing with casual recently, actually, I have two more things that I want to talk about real quick. So Magic is also introducing some new things to Friday Night Magics to try to get more players to come out.
I don't think I know this.
Yeah, so there's two things. Here, let me pull up this article.
Is it promos? I hope it's promos.
No, it's not.
It's always promos. So I guess it's good that it's not. Something new?
I can't believe I had to click on eight different things to get this fucking thing to come
up. That can't be true. Eight or like three? And
it was
like
close.
Eight.
All right.
Probably like three.
Get ready to play. I'm reading directly now from this article from the 20th called Announcing Commander Play Events, featuring Sealed and Two-Headed Giant. Get ready to play Commander with friends, both old and new, at your local game store. As part of our increased efforts to evolve and expand in-store play for players of all formats, we're introducing new ways to play Magic's most popular format, Commander. So I think this is a way to get more Commander players in-store, while also attracting other non-Commander players to try to get them into Commander a little bit more.
Okay, yeah.
And the one that I think makes the most sense first is the Two-Headed Giant Commander Knights.
Yeah.
Because we've been running into more and more couples that are getting, like, into the game together. So I think that, like, being able to team up with your partner or something like that is a real cool way to experience the game, to play with them instead of, like, always playing against them at home. So I think Two-Headed Giant is a really good way to help get someone else into the game where you get to play with them and, like, work with them to show why their cards are good and how they're synergized together.
Especially, I think, if it's a new player who it may not be, I don't know if this makes sense, but so a new player who's not particularly used to playing games, I think for people who play games, they're used to losing a lot. But in Magic, when you start playing Magic, you just, like, lose a lot. And for people who aren't used to playing games, that can be kind of tricky. But if you're losing with your significant other, your partner, I feel like that makes it kind of better. You know what I mean?
And it's always been lame when you're teaching someone one-on-one and they don't know what the cards do. And then, like, it's just you two in the room, so they have to, like, reveal their hand, now you have to, like, play like you don't know what's in their hand. It's just a little, it's not a fun experience for them to go, well, what do I have to do,
right, at least
now they can go, well, what do I have to do, and their opponent doesn't get to see exactly what you're planning.
So what's the reward for the Two-Headed Giant? You said there was, like, new prizes or something?
No, that's just, it's an FNM thing. So now, like, you can go to your Friday Night Magic at your local game store, and participating stores will have Two-Headed Giant as an available format for you to play.
Okay.
That's
what
this is.
All right, sure.
Let me get my water real quick before I introduce the next one. I put it so far back here. I hate this idea. So the other format.
Yeah.
This one was extremely funny to me. Commander Box League.
This is
the sealed thing that they were talking about.
Oh, right. Okay, sure.
Looking to bring some limited vibes to your Commander games. I'm reading directly again. Join your local game store's Commander Box League during pre-release week, running from the start of the set's pre-release events up until its tabletop release. These are a great way to get introduced to a new Magic set. Here, you'll build a brand new 60-card commander deck from the contents of a play booster box and then play games throughout the week. And then it gives you, like, the rules where you build a 60-card deck out of all of the contents of a single play booster box and use any number of basic lands. You can include multiple copies and screw color identity, but otherwise you're playing with normal commander rules, 3 to 4 players per pod, starting life of 40, and you track commander damage and so on.
Cool. Okay. What do you think of this?
Do you think that everyone in the pod builds their deck out of one box? Or is everyone supposed to buy their own box?
Everyone buys their own box.
This sounds like such, like, a way for them to make so much money. And, like, that's what they're thinking in mind. Like, hey, everyone, get 20 players.
Box.
Let's get 20 players to each buy a whole box to play a format for 1 week.
And what's, yeah, it's... This is fun if you like this. My fear would be like, what's stopping people like when you go home to just like slip in other cards in
your
deck?
Put other cards in the deck.
Like the honesty that like you won't do that, I guess. Yeah. But it feels so easy when everyone's taking their decks home and like not like staying in the building like you would do for a normal sealed or something. Which
is
like,
it takes forever to open up a box. And yeah. Now you have to figure out what your 60 card deck is going to look like out of that box.
You also have to be able to like commit to like that whole week to be able to do it, because then if you miss like a day, then you like, I don't know, miss like the whole thing.
This thing, I wrote down that this just feels so fucking funny to me. Like, hey everyone, let's all buy a box of cards.
What,
like,
have you bought
someone
a box?
At Wizards is like dressed up in a store like, hey everyone, let's all buy a box.
Yeah.
That's so funny to me.
Probably not for me. It seems like a fun thing to do. Like, I'm thinking, like, sometimes I do these, like, cabin trips. We've been on them before.
Yeah.
We do, like, go to like a bunch of friends and we draft a bunch. It seems like a cool thing that you could do when you're at, like, a weekend with a friend's thing. But it's not particularly something that I would want to do. I don't know.
I would way better buy one box
and just draft regularly out of that box. Yeah.
I don't think this is going to do enough to bring hardcore limited players
to
Commander just because they got a sealed experience out of it, because they got to spend $120 opening a box. Like, if you're going to buy a box and you want something to do with it while you're opening up the cards anyway, like, I'm glad that this exists at least.
Yeah, I like it for that, because a lot of times I feel like I open a box and I only pull like a couple of cards that I'll actually play. I trade in like 15 and then I have a whole bunch of bulk and that's it.
Exactly.
Whereas
like
this gives you a way, like, I think like it's said, it does give you a way to like explore the set. And if you're not gonna draft anyway,
but,
and you're a Commander player, it gives you that ability to like explore the commons and uncommons that you normally otherwise wouldn't.
My thing is that you were going to do that when you opened the box anyway.
Right.
And because you get 60 cards for your deck, you're probably just playing the best rares that you open too. Play boosters have twice the amount of rares that the old draft boosters did as well. So I think it's pretty reasonable to open up 60 rares, and I think you just end up like still playing a lot of the same cards that, you know, I don't think you get to experience the commons the same way that limited players experience sealed the same way.
Certainly not in the same way, but you definitely get to experience other cards that you otherwise wouldn't.
I think this is a better way to get Commander players to want to do regular sealed and do regular drafts in that way. It's silly thinking that Commander players don't buy product. I don't think this is like a way to like get Commanders to buy product, because they already do.
It's a bad way to get people to buy boxes, but it's a good way to get people to stay in a local game store more who are already going to buy a box.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that that's good. I think there are a lot of good implications for it. And the more that we talk about it, the more that I like it.
Yeah.
The idea behind it is just so funny to me that Wizards is just like, hey, everyone, let's all go to the local game store and spend $120.
Right. Yeah. But that's what, like, that's what the business model is, right? Like, that's what they do. Like, their goal is to get people to buy more cards and
the
shit.
Realization that a lot of people are already doing that and doing nothing with the cards does mean that I'm happier that there's another thing that we can do with the cards that we're going to do anyway. It just forces me to open them all right now and play with them all right now instead of like being able to sit on a box or like open it slowly or like take it home and like have. I like opening cards with Courtney because I think she has better luck than I do.
Sure.
So I like making her open packs, and this loses out on that for me too a little bit. So
it's a little like an adrenaline hit whenever you want it.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is not for me. The idea seems funny to me, but this is a lot of fun because I've also heard that this is something that players have done before.
Yeah.
Like, this is not Wizards' idea that they're coming up with right now. Like, players have done this at Magic conventions before, and I've heard awesome fun stories about it as well. So
I'm
poo-pooing on it a little bit, but I think it is a cool thing overall.
I've done Commander Sealed before. It is super fun. It's like bowling. It's not something that I really want to do more than like once a year. But like once a year, you're like, oh, that was fun. Yeah, we bowled. I'll do it again next year, and then that'll be it. Like, I don't need to do it a lot, but when I do it, it's fun. I have a good time.
And they both make your arms sore from repetitive motion.
You're opening the packs 100 times. Yeah. All right, nice.
So that's all that I have to say about these. These are just two new things that you could see in your local game store. So a reason to go back to your LGS if you haven't been.
Are there any other topics that we're talking about before we talk about casual?
Well, these are all technically casual
that's
Magic
true. This
related.
Is all part of
yeah.
it, yeah.
Although
the actual casual talk really isn't going to be a ton. I think
yeah,
it's just
exactly. That's why I felt okay talking about all this other stuff. Although the idea of your LGS opening up Two-Headed Giant does implement CEDH Two-Headed Giant too.
Ooh, yeah.
Do you remember when we did that
yes.
at a con. We yeah. played with a lovely couple that just wanted to play Two-Headed Giant with yeah. us, and the only deck I had with me was a Turbo Nos deck.
Yeah, and we start with 60 life.
yeah. yeah. I feel like, yeah, more of that I feel like would be a lot of fun.
That is kind of nice, pairing the Turbo Nos deck with a mono counterspells deck and then just trying to resolve an early, you know,
with like Brawl. Yeah, yeah, that something sounds like that. So
just
funny.
Like one player
yeah.
protects, one player attacks. I like the idea of that. I think that could be fun.
Yeah.
We've talked about it a little bit before. Right now, all of our gameplay is done over Zoom, and I have no fucking idea how to do Two-Headed Giant over Zoom. How do you do that? Because yeah. you can't really show, like, everyone would be putting their heads on the table every 2 seconds while you show your hand to your opponent or something. There's a way, I'm sure, share, you know, there's the hide screens or whatever.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, probably. But that sounds like such a hassle. Click, click, yeah. clickety click.
That sounds like click, a pain. I want to flick. I want to flick the cards.
Yeah, yeah, right?
But two-headed CDH does sound like a cool idea.
Yeah, I think that could be something that's very interesting.
Yeah. We were playing against someone a long time ago. We did Two-Headed Giant in Chicago, like at a MagicCon before we were Play to Win, before we did anything. And we played against a deck. One of them was on Derevi, one of them was on Edric, I think. Do you remember this? And it like worked out perfectly because like the Derevi player used the Edric to draw cards and was yeah. untapping. Like sometimes they untap something of the Edric's player or something.
I feel like that was the only deck that we lost
to. It was the only deck we lost to when we were like, oh, y'all thought about
y'all
this.
Y'all thought
like,
of it. We just put our two best decks
yeah,
together.
And we were like, this was great. Like they whooped us handedly because like their strategy was just like Derevi and Edric together. It was really good.
It was really good. Yeah, yeah playing those cool. two decks. Yeah. Well, I forgot about that. What were you playing? I was on Maelstrom Wanderer.
Shit, was I on Tassiger maybe?
Oh, maybe.
Maybe
yeah.
I was on Tassiger. This was like right before we really got full blown into CDH.
The people that were playing CDH, I remember we were like standing over them going,
right,
oh,
yeah.
wow, what's going on over here?
Yes, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was a fun time. So Two-Headed Giant, I think that'll be fun. That'll be exciting. I just don't know how to make content out of that yet. We haven't really talked about the bracket updates. There was a bunch of cards added to the brackets.
Hold up, I'm sorry. I just got a text message.
Okay. You want to read it for the class?
Yeah, from a recruiting representative from LinkedIn US, because my resume has been recommended by multiple platforms.
Okay.
And they have a part-time/full-time job for me.
What are you going to tell them?
I'm going to tell them to kick rocks.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
All right, so yes, you want to talk about the bracket system.
The bracket, yeah, well, there has been several handful of new cards added to the bracket system since we first talked about the initial brackets, and we never ended up talking about them.
Yeah, because it's for casual. And
it's for casual, yeah. But this is the casual podcast, so I'm wondering, is now the time to talk about that? Because there was a moment, and I haven't seen the Shuffle Up and Play video yet, so I don't know if this moment made into it, but I had originally had Necropotence in my Villas deck for when we played casual, and I ended up taking it out because like a week before when we recorded it had been announced that it was a game changer, and I didn't want any game changers in my casual Villas deck. So is there a way that we can talk about the list of them?
Yes, they actually removed 2 cards from the game changers list.
Which ones were removed?
Trouble in Pairs was
off, right,
which I think makes a lot of sense, and then Trinisphere was also taken off.
Sure.
And then they added a bunch of cards including Teferi's Protection.
That one was in my Astor deck that I haven't decided if I'm going to take it out yet because it is a game changer now. Although my stuff is firmly bracket 3, so I'm allowed to have 3 game changers, I just still...
Interesting.
I feel like I don't want to. I don't know. I feel like as a challenge, I feel like I don't want to include game changers.
I think that's fair, yeah. Humility, which I think also makes sense. That card is not fun in casual, I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
Narset, Parter of Veils. Intuition.
Who's playing
that in casual?
Yeah.
Okay. Consecrated Sphinx.
Okay.
Necropotence.
Yeah.
Orcish Bowmasters. That makes sense. That probably should have been there to begin with. Notion Thief. Deflecting Swat.
Deflecting Swat wasn't already in? I thought it was.
No, it wasn't, apparently. Gamble. Worldly Tutor. Crop Rotation, Seedborn Muse, Natural Order.
Why Natural Order?
Natural Order, yeah, because people hate
Sack
fun.
Sack a green creature, find a green creature? But why that one? That's not, there's like better versions of that card? Is Eldritch Evolution on?
No, but we'll get there. Food Chain, that one makes me nervous because now people will look at it and go, oh, that card could be banned in the future.
No way, right?
They better not.
Better not.
I will quit. I'll quit. Yeah.
Out of my cold dead hands, I'll take my food chain.
What am I going to do with all these shirts? Arishard's Field of the Dead and Mishra's Workshops.
Arishard's, okay, sure.
All right, you were pissed about what one?
I don't say pissed, but Nature's Order. What is it called?
It just says, this is one of the strongest ways you can cheat out big creatures early.
I guess, you know what? It does do the, it gets, you can sack a Mana Dork into a Crater Hoof. It does that. The CDH versions of this card are like Eldritch Evolution and Neoform, I feel like, but that's just like the by the nature of CDH. So I guess this is like fine.
And like those decks like kind of make your commanders have to be something that you would consider because like that's tech for that.
And it keeps the things that you get small, but in CDH, the small things are good. Eldritch can't turn a Mana Dork into a Crater Hoof, so
yeah.
Sure. Okay, sure. How do you feel about this list? Do your casual decks include any of these game changers? Where are your thoughts on game changers and casual?
No, so honestly, even when they updated the game changers list, my decks still don't include any of these cards because honestly, to me, these are all CDH cards that they put on the list, which I think is just like, except for Teferi's Protection, I guess.
But even like Fields of the Dead isn't really
Field
like,
of the Dead, I guess Aura Shards doesn't really see play either. Yeah.
Like, so that's why I'm like, kind of unsure because my AC deck, every card in the deck is a land or says the word land on it. It's casual, but it's powerful.
Yeah.
It has Crop Rotation, which is now a game changer. It has Field of the Dead, which is now a game changer. And it had Glacial Chasm, which is secretly the commander of the deck, which was an initial game changer.
But so now you have three to keep now that in bracket three solidly.
Although I do tell people that it is a bracket four deck. I still think that it's really strong.
Because of like, just how it plays?
Just because of how the deck plays. Like, the win state of the deck is effectively a combo. I take infinite turns. It's like several cards, but I take infinite turns with the buyback, sack through lands.
I see,
play
yeah.
Through
but
lands,
that's allowed in
it is allowed.
Bracket
it's,
three?
Yeah, it's like a three. It's like technically like a four-card combo or something. It is a several-card combo that requires a lot of mana.
Because I feel like to us, bracket four is still way different than what bracket four ends up being. I think bracket four probably doesn't look as far off from CEDH as we might think that it should or does. Yeah.
I think bracket four is a lot closer to like tier three. It's really like you're allowed to play whatever you want. It's just not meta CEDH. I mean, like, you're not playing Thassa's Oracle or Underworld Breach, but like you're still playing Mox Diamond and you're
all
still
these cards
mana
that we
all of these cards.
Off,
yeah, you're playing 15 of them if you want to. Like, so bracket four is really just like weirdly like right below CDH and just ignoring the metagame aspect of it. At least that's how it seems to me. So I don't really know where I want to be because for AC, those cards that I mentioned, Crop Rotation, Field of the Dead, and Glacial Chasm, they're super important to the deck. Glacial Chasm is like one of the most important pieces. It's how I stay alive. They're all super important. So I don't know if I want to cut them or just say like, fuck it. That's just what AC is. AC is stronger. I like having decks that are like at a couple different levels. So I kind of like that.
I feel like that's been your policy with AC for a while, right? This is not the first time we've talked about AC on the casual episodes and this. We've seen it on the channel do awesome stuff too. I feel like that's just been your policy is that this is my best casual EDH deck and it's going to combo off for the win.
Yeah, the restriction is every card has land or says land on it. That's the restriction.
Still and it's, casual theming, right?
But it's as powerful as I can make it with within that one restriction. So to me, that's like, it's bracket four because I'm ignoring the metagame. I don't have Force of Will in there, but I do have a few counter spells that happen to say the word land on it or something. There's not as much interaction, but untouched, it can win on turn four. It does have the way to make infinite turns on turn four. That is possible. I'd have to have a really good start, and it doesn't happen often, and no one can touch me at all, but it's possible. So whatever. But for you, you said you're not playing any of the game changers,
I don't
right?
play any game right. changers in my decks. I only have two casual decks together right now, and I feel like I could put like game changers in them and make them three, but I don't even want to fuck with any of that. I feel like if I'm playing casual, I want it to feel way distinct from CEDH still, and I think that the bracket system just kind of allowed me to nuzzle into two really well and just be really happy with the two space, where I can still play like a theme deck, but like pretty much everything in the two bracket is what I was doing in casual EDH anyway, so I just kind of can lean into it a little bit more.
What are your two decks? And we know so we've talked about the Tarmogoyf one before.
The second deck then is Kudo, the King Among Bears. I haven't had the chance to play it.
This one's sick,
but
though.
I put it
I
together.
I want to play against it so bad.
I know. I do really want to play. I just haven't had the chance to. This is the green and a white 2/2 legendary bear that makes all creatures 2/2s, base power, toughness 2/2s, and bears in addition to their types.
Yeah.
And my stipulation for this deck is every card in it had to have a 2 on it somewhere.
Either the number 2 or the word 2. Like
yes.
But TWO.
T-W-O-T-O-O does not count.
It doesn't count, yeah.
It had to reference the number two somehow.
So this is like everything besides Basic Lands, right? So you have like Temple Garden in there because it says two life.
And I have Razor Verge Thicket because it cares about having two or fewer lands in play.
Yeah, okay. But you're not playing other good lands like Command Tower or whatever. It doesn't say two on it anywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, this one's awesome. And are you trying to make it a two? Like, is it firmly a two?
It is firmly a two, I think. Yeah, like, although I haven't been able to play it, but, like, it only wins through combat. Like, there's no...
Tutors, no game changers.
No tutors, no game changers.
Playing Eldritch Evolution?
Eldritch Evolution.
Just tutor, okay.
Although it does have a two on it. I feel like I could. Maybe I will end up sneaking that in there.
And in two, you're allowed to have some amount of tutors, I think? In three, you're allowed to have any amount of tutors.
I don't think anyone cares about tutors in brackets except for us, you and me.
No, I don't know that that's true. Hold on, let me look. Two says few tutors.
Few tutors, okay, yeah. So they do care.
Yeah, and then the three, four, and five, any number of tutors.
But I see, okay.
is loose, I think, last I checked.
I don't even think I'm playing any tutors.
It's kind of strange because, like, for me, Vilas, I play no tutors because it's in mono black and all of the tutors would be, like, good tutors. Find any card and put it in your hand.
Yeah.
But as something like Astor, my Boros equipment decks, I counted, I have 11 tutors in there because they all find equipments and shit. And like the whole point of the deck is that it's kind of a silver bullet deck. I can find sort of Feast and Famine when I need to. I can find sort of whatever when I need to. I can find the right protection. So like having a lot of tutors to me makes sense because all of the tutors specifically find equipments. Some of them find like artifacts,
yeah,
but
I think
they
makes
find
sense.
Equipments,
yeah.
Right?
But I also did try to make this deck a little bit worse than Disa. Like I feel like my affinity for Tarmogoyfs. I really wanted to make sure that that was there. And I think I also noticed that our casual playgroup has bumped up its power level since we did our last casual podcast in 2024.
I think so, yeah.
And I think the brackets just kind of helped with that because what it also made me realize is, oh, as long as I'm not doing a game changer thing, Disa can still be a two and I don't have to feel so bad. Like,
yeah.
Hermit Druid is not a...
You don't have
game
no
changer,
basic lands.
And
in your
I
deck.
Still have some basic lands in my deck, right? So, like, even if I do get a gnarly flip off of Hermit Druid, like, it's not like winning the game in a combo right there. That's going to, like, ruin the game in a way that, like, it's going to be a three or upset people who are in bracket two or even one that I'm playing against.
Yeah, and I think Disa, like, your build it's strong. Like, it can have good starts.
Yeah,
you can, like,
it
do
definitely
your thing
does
very
really
well,
good stuff.
But I agree that it is pretty firmly a two. I think maybe a strong two because it's consistent. You hit your land drops, you do your thing every time, it seems. But it's still like a two. There's no game changers, there's no tutors. Like, you're just playing a bunch of Tarmogoyfs, and sometimes you play several 5/6s in a turn, and that's pretty good.
Exactly.
I'm gonna put
yeah.
20 power in play or whatever. That's pretty good.
And
casual,
if I have Pyrogoyf and I'm also dealing like a bunch of damage around, like there is a lot of good stuff that you can do.
But it's still like you're killing four creatures, putting 4/5/6s in play past the turn. You're not winning the game. You know what I mean? Like you're just like
my whole
doing
plan
good
falls
things.
If you remove one Pyrogoyf once. Stuff like that will like keep it from being like I could play Demonic Tutor.
Yeah.
Like if I really wanted it to be a three, I could put Demonic Tutor in there. And then, like, make sure I get Pyrogoyf significantly more frequently. But I still really like evoking Jund, playing cards that I played in Jund in Modern that are just bad in casual Magic. But, like, I still want to play them.
So you're playing Bloodbraid Elf, and you're playing cards that are really 60-card cards.
Huntmaster
like,
of the Fells.
Yeah, just because. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
That's sick. I think that's a good spot to be in for casual, at least for me. Like, we've talked about this before, that although our casual playgroup has gotten a little bit stronger recently, most of our decks, the ones that we play often, are still, like, firmly casual. Like
they still are.
There's a pretty big line between our CDH decks and our casual decks.
The best thing that I will say that my new Kudo deck will be able to do is put Elishnorn into play with Kudo, which will wipe everyone else's creatures and make mine all 4/4s.
Yeah, that's like that. That's like the, I feel like the goal of your deck.
That's my big finish, yeah.
My casual decks. We talked about yours. You have Disa, Jund, Tarmogoyf. That's the strategy. You want to put stuff into your graveyard. You want them to be Tarmogoyfs. You want them to put them into play.
And I
want
to cast Jund cards you played in Modern or Standard back in the day.
And then you also have Kudro, the bear. Everything says two.
Everything has a two on it or says two and somewhere on the card.
Yeah. I played Vilas recently in Shuffle Up and Play with the professor. You played Disa?
I did play Disa, yeah.
I played Vilas. Vilas is life loss, life gain. It's Vilas focused, things that work well with Vilas. It's mono black classic stuff. So I have like stuff like Pack Rat, which is when I got into Magic or like a little bit after when I was playing a lot of Standard. There was a mono black deck that played played Pack Rat and it was really, really powerful. So I put a Pack Rat in there. Nice. So it's really just like mono black classic control, swamp stuff, all like the Cabal type things of making a bunch of mana for each swamp you control, all of that.
We've seen this on the channel too,
right?
We've seen
this on the channel. Yeah, this is like one of my favorite decks. It's just like a sick deck. It's not that powerful, but it's strong. It's actually... weirdly, I think it's like technically it's a bracket two. There's no game changers. There's no tutors.
You stuck with Necropotent staying out.
Necropotent's out. Yeah. So there's nothing like that. I would still say it's around a three. It's a pretty strong, like it's still a strong deck. If I can survive to turn five or six, I normally have a pretty good shot of getting there. It's got a ton of interaction. The entire deck is like spot removal and kill spells that lose me life. So when Vilas is out, my like removal is like kind of cantrips and stuff.
See, I would have said that deck's just a really good two because you're not on any game changers. You're not technically comboing. You're just like casting Grey Merchant of Asphodel, sacrificing it, and then like animate deading it with like all cards that are not game changers.
Exactly. Yeah, I would say it is firmly a two. It's kind of where Disa is, where like it's a strong two.
It's a good two. It's in all of these brackets, I think there's like a wave because like I do feel like I can understand where you're going from, where you call
AC like a AC strong a three, like a four.
Strong
it's
three
a four.
Or like a four, but like at the same time, like it could be a stronger four if you played Force of Negation and Force of Will and all that kind of
stuff
too.
Yeah, so realistically, like AC realistically isn't a four because if I played against other fours, they would probably whoop my ass because they're playing free counter spells and stuff like that. I'm not going to tell people that AC is a three when I'm sitting down with threes. I'm going to say it's a strong three. On paper, it's a three, but it's trying to do powerful things. Vilas is the same thing, but it's a strong two. On paper, it's a two, but it does, like I think, strong things.
It just goes to show that the brackets are just the conversation starter and not supposed to be like their own metagames or like hard guidelines or anything.
Yeah, so that was AC, that was Vilas, and then Astor is the third one that completes that color combination. So
your
now
trifecta,
I have all
the
trifecta of colors there. Astor is equipments. There's a ton of tutors in this one. There's one game changer in Teferi's Protection. It is a bracket three, I think, because it's unlimited tutors, which is more than a few tutors. So it's technically a bracket three, but I would argue Vilas is stronger than Astor, even though Astor is a bracket three and Vilas is kind of a bracket two.
But I do think that's because of the nature of style of
just
deck,
just the style
though.
Of
yeah.
play that just like Astor is an equipment deck. It's a Voltron deck, so it's kind of spot removal, kind of tears it apart pretty easily. Oh my God, if someone has Edict effects and is making each player sacrifice a creature.
Oh, you can't do anything.
I would just put my whole fucking life into the graveyard. I will die. I will not be able to win that game whatsoever.
But if you find Sword of Feast and Famine before I find a removal spell.
Against certain decks, it's lights out. There's things that I can have to make my thing say that I can't lose the game and my opponents can't win the game as long as it's equipped, and then I make my thing indestructible and protection from everything.
Yeah.
And no one can do it. Like, there are things like that, but I would still argue that although this deck is a three on paper, it's a weak three, I would say. It's not a very strong three, but its thing is good. It has to kind of play with like an interactive pot. If there's no interaction, what it does is pretty good. If there's some interaction, what it does sucks. So that's my first like kind of grouping, my first like pair. And then I have three more decks. I do a Pokemon thing. I have a lineup. I need no more than six casual decks.
Nice.
So I have one that's like in the waiting bin. It's in my box at the PC or whatever. I can't build it until I take apart another deck. So my other three decks that I have are Edgar Markov, Vampires. I've talked about this a lot, but this is like my first deck coming back to Commander. Vampires go wide, attacking for a bunch. Everything in the deck is either vampire or has a vampire on the art, like Anguished Unmaking is in it. Technically, Fire Covenant is the only card that has nothing to do with vampires and has nothing to do with go wide. I think it's helpful in a go wide aggro strategy, so it fits in that strategy that Edgar is go wide aggro. So
just Regeki the table.
That's when I kind of go back and forth on that. Technically, it's not a vampire, and technically, it doesn't make more vampires, but...
You play other Regekis in the deck, though, so that Regeki are still on theme for your
get
deck.
Rid of all my opponent's creatures. Yeah, exactly. Olivia's Wrath or something. There's an Olivia's. It's like five mana. Each non-vampire gets -1 for each vampire you control or something like that.
It's
so
cracked in that deck.
There is a real shot. I probably should cut the Fire Covenant if I want to fit the strategy because I do like all my commander decks. All my casual ones have to be on theme, right? So it is one of my first cuts that I'll take out. But for now, so that's my Edgar deck. The other one is Tovelar Werewolves. This is a firm too. Oh, I didn't say Edgar. Although Edgar is very powerful, I would say that this Edgar, everyone says it's not one of those Edgars. It is. It's a whole bunch of one drops. It's one of those Edgars. I don't win a lot of games with it. I kill a lot of first and second players with it, or I get everyone down to five or six and then die. Like, Like, I do a lot of that with this deck. The finishing, I don't have, there's no combos in it. There's nothing like that. There's no tutors. I don't have, I thought about Vampiric Tutor because it's,
it's Vampiric, yeah.
But there's none of that or anything like that. So my Edgar on paper is a bracket, is two. It's a bracket two. It's a strong two. It's another one of these strong twos. It's realistically, it'll play like a three. There are ways that it can win on turn four. I'd have to have a perfect hand, but it's a very strong two. I would argue it's a three. Tovalar is it's a two. This is the weakest deck that I have. It's werewolves. It's the best deck that a werewolf deck can be, I think. Werewolves just kind of suck. They are a limited mechanic. They're not made for constructed play. They're not made for commander play. So the best ones are like, truly, Huntmaster of the Fells is one of the best cards in my deck. And in Disa, it's like a laughable junk card, right?
Probably one of the worst, yeah.
Right? So it's just like, that's not exactly true. There are a few werewolves that are good, but not many
of them. Grave Titan Werewolf is good, yeah.
Grave Titan Werewolf, yeah. There's a few of them. I would say that Tovalar is a firm bracket two. This is my weakest deck. It is a two through and through. There's no game changers. There's no tutors. It's all werewolf shit. And then it's also specifically like a Wolf Run Werewolf deck. Wolf Run Ramp.
Wolf
that was
run,
the standard deck.
Wolf Run Ramp was the standard deck, yeah.
Right, so like there's a lot of like, I'm playing three mana, deal damage to a whole bunch of players types of cards.
Oh, the Slag Storm.
Yeah, not exactly Slag Storm, but cards like Slag Storm. So like
that was the card from Fireball. The standard deck, though. You should play that, though.
I should. That one sucks, though, so I'm not playing that one. But cards like it. So like Delayed Blast Fireball and some things like that that deal little amounts of damage to a bunch of things, hoping that my stuff can stay big. I have Wolf Run in the deck. The commander is also a Wolf Run. It plays a lot of two mana ramp, which is just a commander thing. But that Wolf Run ramp deck in standard played Rampant Growth and shit like that.
True, yeah.
So like I kind of stick to like most of my ramp is two mana, kind of to like as a throw to Wolf Run ramp.
Are you on Birds of Paradise? Because that was also legal in that standard
deck.
That's
true. It's still wolves and werewolves only. There's one human in the deck, but it makes wolves whenever a wolf flips. So it makes wolves on it. That's close enough.
Yeah, you technically have a lot of other humans too, so I think that's okay.
All of the werewolves are humans. There's like there's one that's maybe not. All the werewolves are humans. So it's a weird deck. Like I'm playing Cavern of Souls. I almost always name human on Cavern of Souls.
That's so
because
funny.
I want to name werewolf, not wolf, and all of the werewolves are humans except for like one, and it's a mana dork, and I don't care if you counter it or something like that. So it really, like human is the best pick because there's one human that I would want to not get countered, and it's not a werewolf. That's besides the point. The last deck that I'm going to talk about for my six casual decks is Gisa and Giralf, which I just got. Hold on.
Ooh.
This part's not sponsored, but we are sponsored by Dragon Shield. I just got the blue large shell. I've been waiting for this one for a while. It's my Gisa and Giralf deck. So I'm really excited about that one. But Gisa and Giralf is zombies through and through, but specifically like living death type effects, zombie apocalypse, and things that bring all of my zombies back because I'm using Gisa and Giralf to mill my library, a bunch of other things to mill library, a bunch of ways to get zombies into the graveyard and then bring them all back. This is another one that I think on paper is a two. I don't think there's any game changers. There's one tutor and it's Vile Entomber, which is an entomb. It's a zombie that entombs something,
ooh,
which that's good, right? But it's just a four mana entomb that's still like not that great. So this one's another one that's firmly a two, but it is better than Tovalar, and I think it's better than Edgar. It's like this one is another one that's like closer in power level to Vilas in that technically it's a two, but it plays like a three.
That I think makes a little bit more sense because you do have that combo that's in there with your.
Oh yes, so technically there is a three card or four card combo. It's Rooftop Apocalypse,
Rooftop Storm.
Sorry, Rooftop Apocalypse is the name of the deck that I named it because it's Rooftop Storm and Zombie Apocalypse.
That's cool.
Sorry, Rooftop Storm, Gravecrawler, a Sack Outlet. The only one that I play in the deck is Grimgrin, which is a five mana card.
Oh, so you need that one specifically.
Yeah, because I didn't put Carrion Feeder in there because it's weirdly Carrion Feeder I felt was just like too good in the deck. Like being able to sack a zombie for one mana that can sack zombies for no mana was just really good.
I could see that.
So that's the only Sack Outlet in the deck. Gravecrawler, Zombie Apocalypse, and then Rooftop Storm, and then any payoff. Because with Gravecrawler and the Rooftop Storm, and I can sacrifice with the Grimgrin, I can cast Gravecrawler over and over again for free and then keep on sacrificing it with the Grimgrin.
So, like, do you play the Giralf Captain that's the Dimir Lord that also drains players when a zombie dies?
Yeah. So that's one that you can drain a player when a zombie dies.
It's a captain and I don't think it's Giralf's Captain.
It's not Giralf's Captain, but I know the one you're talking about. There's a couple that also, like, whenever a creature dies, you will gain a life or lose a life and draw a card. So you build your own Necropotence kind of.
A couple of them just make like infinite zombies.
Every time you do a die, make a zombie. There's a couple of like payoffs that you would have to have, but it's effectively like you would need four cards to do it.
It feels like a Lannis scenario where like Lannis also needs like, here's your combo, but you need one of the payoff cards, and there's like 50 of them in the
deck.
There's
like 10 of them, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You just have to have a whole bunch of them. Yeah.
So it technically does finish on a combo, and I think that's why I think specifically AC, Vilas, and Gisa and Giraffe are stronger because all of them end on a combo. Vilas ends on like Great Merchant of Asphodel a couple times. Like it's rare that I'm attacking. I'm just like kind of out of nowhere, build up an insane amount of devotion, cast Gary, sack Gary, reanimate Gary, do that two or three times and win the game. So it feels like a combo. AC almost always wins with the infinite turns. Gisa and Giraffe almost always wins with reanimating all of my zombies and again with Great Merchant of Asphodel. It's one of my favorite cards. So those three ones I feel like are more powerful because they end on combo, whereas Astor, Tovalar, and Edgar, although they're powerful, they just win by attacking. There's nothing unfair about them. That's just fair. Those are my casual decks. A lot to say, all that shit. Who cares?
Well, you have so many. You have so many. I only have two. Yeah, so to me, it sounds like so many, but I also know that there's people out there that have like
25 decks
still
laughing at us. Yeah.
I know. Like, I already don't have time to play the two casual decks that I have, and I would love to have more casual decks, but I just haven't had the time to play so much casual recently. So I think I'm just also waiting for like other Universes Beyond stuff to come out. Yeah. Like, I know that I'm going to want an Avatar, the Last Airbender casual deck of some kind. I don't think I'm going to build the Aang that's already been spoiled because it's a four-color monstrosity that I don't want to touch that many colors in casual anymore, I think.
And we don't know what bending does yet. We don't know what bending is. Fire bending, water bending, we don't know what that is.
I mean, I think that would be a good way to go because that kind of forces you to put a bunch of cards from the overall set in that deck. Like, that's a good way that you can just go, oh, this is just my Avatar, the Last Airbender deck. It's parasitic, but I think it's, like, almost like a good way to be parasitic, where that way, if you're angry about it being around, like, well, at least it was parasitic.
Right, it was all in that deck.
Yeah, it's not going to affect your other casual experiences then, at least. Not that I want all of the Universes Beyond stuff to go that way, but I think that is at least an upside that we can get from this.
Like, when they work together, I think, though, there's a chance that firebending might just be like a good thing, though, because it says whenever you firebend, firebend could just be like whenever a red creature deals combat damage to a player. Like,
I really hope that bending is just putting mana into your mana pool. Whenever you firebend, you put firebend two puts two red mana into your mana pool.
That would make sense. I wonder. Yeah, huh? That's interesting.
But I mean, that would be crack though, because doesn't that Aang say whenever you bend, you draw a card
whenever
or something?
Whenever you bend two, I think it's draw a card. So
if I add green to my mana pool, I draw a card.
Yeah.
Which is also weird because then that puts a trigger on the stack at a time that you don't really normally put a trigger on the stack because you're floating mana.
Would the mana be floated before the trigger? Like while the trigger's on the stack, the mana's already there?
No, the mana's there and then the trigger would have to go on the stack.
So if someone was responding to the trigger, you already have that green mana.
But I also feel like you have to...
Well, we don't know. This is all speculation.
Yeah, it's all speculation. Yeah.
I do kind of agree with you. I'm hoping to get a Universes Beyond commander that I really want to make all about that universe. We got Deadpool recently, and I thought I would want to do that. Turns out
he's CEDH playable, though.
So I'm just going to play him in CDH. I'm just going to play him in Sisse for now, and that's where I'm going to get my Deadpool stuff. And until we get more... like Marvel stuff and more X-Men stuff and more mutant shit, I don't think there's enough stuff to put in a Deadpool deck that's all Deadpool themed. It's just gonna be a good deck.
If I liked any of those characters, like if I liked any of those like Marvel characters enough right now that I would want to play them in CEDH, I feel like that's something I could go for. But I feel like it's really gonna like take an IP that I love to want to like keep a deck around that's gonna be like that. I don't even know if Avatar will do that for me. Like this is something that I'll be excited about. I want to build like a casual deck for. Like I'm not gonna be forced to keep a CEDH deck around because of it.
Yeah, for a CEDH deck for sure not. Yeah, and we just like realistically don't play a ton of casual. I go some weeks where I play once a week, and then sometimes I'll go 2 months and I won't play any casual and be all on CDH and stuff.
I can't tell you the last game of casual I played. Yes, I could. It was for the Professor. That was the last game that I played.
I think that might be mine as well, honestly. I like having the decks together. I like, you know, like thinking about them and balancing them as my own like little world or whatever, but I don't really play them that ton.
No, I don't really think about it that much either.
CDH is way more fun.
Yeah, for sure. Which is why I only doing like one podcast a year on casual, because I really have not been thinking about it so much. Like, I have not been thinking about what my next casual deck is going to be. Like, that's not something
something on my mind at all right now. That's also not even on my mind right now for CEDH, and I feel like that should be. I feel like I'm just so Atali-pilled right now that that's the only deck that I'm thinking about.
I think that's great. I think that's the way that you win more games of CDH, which is something that I have yet to attach myself to, is like a singular deck forever. I switch off decks like all the time. And I think realistically, for most people, hooking onto one deck is a great way to like just like get better and like get more wins and like learn the deck inside and out. So I think that's a good move.
I did that with Jund in Modern, and I think that went a little bit better for me, because like, especially in that kind of format where it just is so matchup dependent too, and like you, when you really need to know the matchups and what they do, you know, I think that format rewards it a little bit more than CEDH. But I think CEDH, that's still a big part of it.
Honestly, I disagree with you there. I hate to throw a disagreement with you there, but everything singleton, it feels like CEDH at you, like knowing your deck gives you such a huge benefit. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know.
See, for me, I figured that because there's a better chance of interaction from your opponent in Modern, like you kind of have to know
what you're
where
to
stop
around
your opponent's things and like what to play around in that case. Whereas CEDH, like you have more options to go for, but you're just still going for it. You're not always playing around things unless information has been shown to you. But maybe you're right. I feel like I haven't been following Modern, but it's a lot more linear now.
Well, like you said, like when in Modern, you know where you're supposed to stop your opponents. You know the point that you're supposed to. In CDH, a lot of times people don't know when they're supposed to interact with Sisay. They interact at the wrong times. They don't, you know what I mean? Like they just don't know, because I know the deck better than you. You don't know, like the 99, you have to know 99 individual cards. That's a lot. In 60 card, you have to know, when I'm playing a deck, you have to know 15 cards because everything's a four of or whatever. You know, so you only have to know certain things. You can only have Force of Will or Daze here. That's all you can have. Whereas in CDH, you can have fucking anything. So how am I supposed to play around it? So that's why I think that you're benefited more if you know your deck inside and out, because your opponent is not going to have the time to research not only their whole deck, but know everything that Magda could pull out at all times. They're going to miss some things.
I guess that's true, yeah. Especially because a lot of these communities are getting so niche.
Yeah.
Like their Discords are like really getting into the weeds. And if you're not like in every single deck's Discord, how are you going to know the exact tech that they're playing when like metagames can change so quickly? Even though ours doesn't change that quickly.
Not quickly, but it does shift.
It shifts quite a bit. I think it's just shifted again. Yeah.
I think we weirdly moved into a place that's not quite mid-range hell, but slightly different. It still is. It's just like, to me, like the volume on mid-range hell just keeps on getting turned up a little bit more and more. Because now, like, stuff like Mirror Maid and stuff like Copy Artifact, but also Exchange Enchantment. What's that one? Steel Enchantment. Cards like that are seeing a lot more play, which
That's true.
Like, Rhystic Studies.
We're getting
best,
way off topic. This is the casual topic, and now we were jamming on.
Okay, we'll talk about mid-range hell. About mid-range hell another time. But casual, yeah. Casual's fun enough, I guess.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I would certainly like to play more casual. I would certainly like to play this Kudo deck that I put together 2 months ago, at least once.
At least twice, actually.
Actually, yeah, I need to play it twice, and then I'll take it apart.
Thanks so much for watching. If you want to support us directly, you can do so on Patreon, like our $100 patrons.
Cumulative Upkeep, MTG, Mr. Jerby, The Cardboard Cookbook, Penguin Man 0089, Eli the Magic Eye, David Newman, Pat Fire, Spangler, Larceny Roars, Demetrius Clark, Your Boy Blue, Sparky B, Insomnia, C. Phillip, Olden Groupie, Zach Hartley, Reactive, Sean in the Ice, Scare Bear Garrett, Luke Cook, Connor Sipon, Joshua Day, Peter Stewart, Cornel Wild, Uncle Butts, Kawaja A. Hamid, Scott Hawk, and Baby Jeebus.
If you want to pick up any of our merch, you can do that at playtowinmtg.com.
Thank you, Dragon Shield, for supporting the show. Use code PlayToWin5 at our affiliate link down below for 5% off.
You can follow us on social media for more content.
Thank you for watching.
See you next time.
Major Tom, John Koba, The Gaming Kinkajou, Sarcastic, Bill Bob, Mystic Muffin Man, Zachary Coulson, Jabaha, Mace the Ace, Dalton Poteet, Justin Mansolo, Jan Wild, Fang Thomas Bueno, and David Nelson.
I would floor it if I were you.
Yeah, I'm going to floor it. Like NOS. Sitting on my phone and I just heard a crack.
Oh, nice. You break it?
Just popped out of my case a little bit.
Phew.
Okay.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal.
all that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.